Oh my. So I'm looking at the time. This morning is supposed to be our conclusion. It may be a two-part conclusion. We'll see how it goes. We're going to come back to this later in the year. This morning, Lord willing, we'll see how it goes. It's my desire that this is the, at present, our conclusion on our series of Nehemiah. I trust it has been a blessing to you. It has been a blessing to me as well. And I've, each week as I have prayed and prepared, I've also prayed first for myself as I've looked at the truths and as I've looked at the lessons. So it's my desire to bring us for now to a conclusion on our lessons on Nehemiah, learning from Nehemiah. But we're going to come back to this again later in the year. But for now, I hope we'll be going ahead. So we will see how it goes this morning. Don't judge me if we get near the end and I say, okay, the second conclusion is next week. But let's see how we go this morning. We have these last 6 weeks we've been looking at Nehemiah. And so it's our final look at Nehemiah for now. We will come back to it later. And I trust that as we have gone through Nehemiah together, we have seen that this is not a history lesson. All, but there are vital truths that are here for us. And this morning the title is Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Now if you've been reading Nehemiah, you already have an idea. That phrase is somewhere in Nehemiah. We're going to look this morning, but we'll come back to it. And I want this morning, excuse me, as we go through it, I don't want to just go back and rehash. We talked about this, but I was singing morning. So it's not a COVID cough, but I don't want to rehash what we've gone over, but I want to highlight again what I believe the Lord wants us to keep in our minds as we move forward. I want to remind you again of the beginning in the situation as the book of Nehemiah opens. What prompts this whole book of Nehemiah? Because it has application for us as well. Nehemiah is in Susa. He's in a Persian city. These people are, this kingdom is over. They have conquered the kingdom of Judah. And Nehemiah is we can't even really call him a prisoner of war, although technically he is a prisoner of war, because he has made his home in Susa, and he's in a position of honor. And then he gets word from his brother Hanani, his flesh and blood brother, not just a brother, but his flesh and blood brother Hanani, who has returned from Judah. It was almost 1,000 miles, and so this might have been a visit, a once-in-a-lifetime visit. Nehemiah, though he was Jewish, had never been to Judah before, but as he asked his brother Hanani, how are things going there, he expected a good answer, right? When we ask how you are doing, we hope for a good answer. We want good things. And Nehemiah certainly expected it because God had worked miracles on their behalf. God had gotten the exiles back. They had been able to rebuild the altar. They had rebuilt the temple as well. So Nehemiah expects God. God has done great things for Judah. But the answer that he gets is very, very bad. What he hears is a shock. Things are not going well. They're not even so-so. They're going very badly. And as soon as Nehemiah hears this, his first response is, when I heard this, I sat down and wept. And we start there because we are flesh and blood. As we think about our responses to situations and circumstances that aren't as they should be, that are painful to our hearts, that touch our emotions, and there is a natural upset. There's a natural discomfort. There's a natural grieving that we're not happy about it. And that is true for us, whether we are Christians or not Christians. But brothers and sisters, we are Christians. We are children of the Most high God. And you and I, when we hear of things, when we face things, when we are in circumstances that are not as they should be, let us always and ever move beyond the natural response and let us go higher. That is what Nehemiah did and what we read after that. So there's first the response, and then he says, in fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. And then I said, O Lord God of heaven. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, if we never get beyond the emotional level, the natural level, when things aren't right, God will never work. God works for those who wait for him. God works for those who call on his name. And so we have a blueprint, a pattern in the book of Nehemiah for what God wants his people to do when we face circumstances that are not good, when our families are broken apart, when our relationships are messed up, when our children or our spouses or other or our friends are far from God. God gives us a way forward, and we do what Nehemiah does. Nehemiah waited on the Lord. He mourned, he grieved, and then he began to pray. We talked about this, and we looked at Nehemiah's prayer. So I want to encourage you this morning, what happens when we go to prayer? This is in Nehemiah chapter 1. When we go to prayer, God begins to align our thoughts with his thoughts. When we go to God in prayer, God begins to align our emotions with his emotions. God has emotions. When we go to God in prayer, not just to, oh, God, help, but really, we do what Nehemiah did. When we go to the Lord in this way, God takes what is there that we look at and we say, oh, God, what will we do? God, do something. And God takes his plan that he has, and he always has a plan. There's never a situation for which God does not have a plan. And when we go to him in prayer, he aligns our hearts with his, our thoughts with his, and he will put into our thoughts his plan, his plan. And when we are aligned with God in prayer, not only does he give us his plan, he gives us his power, and he puts his purpose in our hearts so that what God wants to do, he will carry out through us like Nehemiah. God always has plans. He doesn't always have the people to carry out those plans, does he? Will you be one of those people? God is looking for Nehemiah. God is looking for wall builders who will make themselves available, who will say, God, I don't know how to build a wall, but here I am. You know these people that you're around, these people that are so hardened that you think they'll never believe God, and you don't even know how to start talking to them. God has a plan. God knows what to say. And when we come to him, when we come to him, he takes his plan and his power, heavenly, eternal, perfect, and puts it in us and begins to work through us, but we have to make ourselves available. We can be the people of God who have the plan of God. And this is what we see in Nehemiah. He's looking for wall builders. Will you be one of the wall builders? I want to be one of the wall builders. It will be tasks that are too big for you. It will be situations for which you feel totally inadequate. You will not have the resources. What do you think those wall builders felt like as they looked at all the rubble and they looked at all the enemies that surrounded them? But instead they said, well, okay, here we are. And they started, and they started. And this is what we see in Nehemiah. And this is what God wants us to see in Nehemiah as well. As we talked about it, God is not necessarily looking for the most skilled or the most powerful. Although the Bible makes it very clear that he does give us skills. He gives us talents. He does equip us. We'll talk about that at another time. The New Testament, 1 Corinthians 14, Romans 12, and others as well. We look at the equipping, but I want you to see something. I want to remind you as we conclude Nehemiah this morning, the equipping that God does for Nehemiah and the wall builders is he gives them wisdom, and he gives them power, he gives them plan, and a purpose, and then they build the wall. And he's looking for those who are available. Who were some of the available ones? Some of the available ones were nobles and commoners, residents of the city of Jerusalem, and others from other villages, manual laborers, white-collar workers, perfumers and goldsmiths. There were older and younger. And I remind you again, Shallum and his daughters. What a good reminder. Anytime you feel like, I can't, remember Shallum and his daughters. These were teenage girls who made themselves available. And God used them to build the wall. Those who had many means, those who had few. There were some that had great houses and were leaders. There were others that had just a room. But they made themselves available. And when we make ourselves available, brothers and sisters, for the work of the Lord, he will bring us into his plan. And he will put us into partnership with him and with others in the family and in the church of God. So we look at the scope of the work as well. And we talked about this. I want to remind you again, as we move forward in 2021 and beyond, and we think about Nehemiah and the building of the wall, the rebuilding of the wall, the restoring and the rehanging of the gates, there is the scope of God's work that is within us individually. And God wants walls and gates restored and rehung in our own lives, that we might not be easy prey to the enemy, that we might not always have an open door where the enemy can attack us and put us down every time. God wants us to overcome in our lives, and it will not be our own strength. It will be through his strength. He will help us. This is the picture over and over again that we see in Nehemiah. It's God who will work in us. He'll help us, but he wants our own lives to be like he wanted the city of Jerusalem to be, defended, protected, with an identity. You see, with the walls broken down, they would forever lack the identity that God had for them as the city of God, the dwelling place of God. Jerusalem was, God had praised it, I have set my glory upon Jerusalem. I have made this the place where I dwell. How beautiful is Jerusalem? God said all of these things about this city. But everyone who looked at that city, all they could see were broken down walls and burnt gates. There was nothing of glory. There was nothing of God in this city. Why? Because something needed to be done, and the walls needed to be rebuilt. This is a metaphor, if you will, a picture for you and me as well in our lives. God wants the things restored in our lives that, as Nehemiah said, we will no more be a disgrace and a shame. And I don't mean that in a way to point a finger at anybody, but how many times, brothers and sisters, have we lived with the broken walls and the burnt gates in our own lives, and because of that, the enemy has effectively neutralized us for any work of God? Is that not true? All of us have experienced that, and God wants to get us out of that and restore us so that we will be people for his glory, and people will look at our lives, and it won't be, oh, you're so great, but it will be, oh, God is so great. He has done something in you. This is what God wants to do. This is what God wants to do in our lives. There's a larger scope as well, and that larger scope is that goes beyond us. And it might go into our families, or it might go with our friends and our acquaintances. Because just as surely as God has a plan for your life, he has a plan for all of those people that are around you, people that you pass every day. I've been thinking more and more about one of our gate men downstairs, Mr. Yen. He's always here on Sundays. And I was thinking about him and praying for him yesterday. And I know he's not always polite to everybody. I know that. So sorry. But you know why? I think probably because he doesn't know Jesus, right? I'm so sorry. He's polite to me, and I'm afraid it's because of the color of my skin. I'm really sorry about that. But he needs Jesus, doesn't he? And I was thinking about that, and I thought, Lord, instead of griping about him, could it be that it is our responsibility and part of our wall building that we begin to pray for him, focus on him, and those of you that really speak Cantonese, that you begin to reach out to him. I do my best, but I am not a Cantonese speaker. And then there's the scope that goes beyond that to the Church of Lighthouse, because God has ordained Lighthouse. And we talk about the work of God. And so you heard Bea this morning in the opening as she talked about the church. And we have this picture of God bringing individuals together for the work of the Lord. And in the corporate, I'm sorry, we need to get sound fixed. One person who's sweating more than I am, and it's the sound person right now. Pray for them. Okay, here we go. Let's keep on going. I'll do my best to keep focused, and we'll let them work out what they can work out. In the corporate, in the work of the church, some parts are more glorious, some parts are less glorious, aren't they? Me, I would like to build the sheep gate. But do you know what? Somebody has to build the dung gate, because all parts are needed for the work of the Lord. All parts are needed for the work of the Lord. And so wherever God puts you, wherever you are put, whether you are Eliashib, who repairs the sheep gate, how glorious, or you are Malchijah, who repairs the dung gate, guess what? You are needed wherever you work. You will be a blessing wherever you work. This is the picture that we see. Now let's talk a little bit further about the nature of the work. We talked about the scope of the work, and I want us to look at a verse. What is the nature of this work that God is calling us to do? We see what Nehemiah is doing. Look with me at the verse. And these two verses right near the beginning of Nehemiah tell us what the nature of the work is. Nehemiah asks them, how's it going? And here's the reply. They said to me, the survivors in the province who returned from the exile are in great trouble and disgrace. Jerusalem's walls have been broken down, and its gates have been burned down. And then, in Nehemiah 2:17, when he calls them to the work, Nehemiah says, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned down. Come, let's rebuild Jerusalem's walls so that we will no longer be a disgrace and a shame. I want you to see something this morning, brothers and sisters, as we look at these two passages, at the beginning, at 1:3, and at 2:17. What do we see the work of God is? Brothers and sisters, in Nehemiah we have a picture, but the work of God is not really gates and walls. The goal is not really gates and walls, is it? The purpose, the goal, the end aim is that the people of God will no longer be in trouble, that they'll no longer be in disgrace, that they'll no longer be in shame because they are open prey to the enemies around them. That's the purpose. And you and I sometimes get all tied up in the gates and the walls. Now, in the Old Testament, that's a picture for us, and that's what we see. But the point is, and the purpose is, that God wants his people to be at peace. God has a plan for people. And brothers and sisters, if you haven't heard anything else, hear this morning. God's work is not about walls. God's work is not about instruments. God's work is not about counting money. God's work is not about tech. God's work is not about cleaning. All of these things are part of it. But God's work is all about people. God's work is all about people. That's what God is interested in, because people are eternal. People will live forever. People are made in the image of God. That's what God is all about, and that's what he wants us to be all about as well. And so that's why as we come to the work, we see in Nehemiah, and we may have missed it earlier, but what we want to see is this. Nehemiah says, let's rebuild the walls. Come on, let's do it. And they say, yes, let's rebuild. But the purpose is not to say, oh, look at this truly beautiful wall. It's so gorgeous. No, the purpose is that they might no longer be in trouble, might no longer be in disgrace. God is all about people. He sent Jesus to die for people. He has a plan for people. He may use wall building. He may use tech. He may use money counting. He may use all of these things, but it's for the sake of people. It's for the sake of people. And you and I want to get close to God so that we have the same vision that he has. God's work is about people. His work is about people. Everything, it's about people. Do you think that might be why God cares about how we serve him and how we do his work? Because it's about people. Now, if all I'm doing is this and that and whatever, and it doesn't matter to anybody and it doesn't touch anybody, then who cares? I'm grumpy as I do it. But if it's about people and I remember the Lord, then it makes a difference. It makes a difference. Do you know, in all of the excavations of Jerusalem, in all of the excavations of the wall, never once have they found a plaque that says Nehemiah's Memorial Wall. I was thinking about that. They've looked. Surely, Nehemiah was instrumental, right? It was all about Nehemiah, right? No, it wasn't about Nehemiah. You see, Nehemiah knew something that you and I sometimes still need to remember. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Then that reminds us it's about people, doesn't it? God, this is for you. And God's focus is upon people. God's love is set on people. God's aim is people. And that's why he cares about why we do his work. If you'll read the book of Nehemiah, and maybe when we come back to this in some months, never once does it say, Nehemiah said, look what I've done to the people. However, four times, there are four prayers. Do you know what Nehemiah says? Nehemiah says, the beginning of every prayer, these four prayers, remember me, O Lord. Remember me, O Lord. Why? Because it is for the glory of God. And God keeps the record. I wonder if that's why the nobles of Tekoa didn't want to do it. They weren't going to get a plaque on the wall, maybe. I laugh sometimes when those of you who are from the Philippines, I see that fairly often in the Philippines, right? There will be signs that say, this stretch of road was provided by something, 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 the honorable da-da-da-da-da. I see it everywhere, all over the Philippines. Not just the Philippines, it's in other countries as well. And we see that in the natural. But brothers and sisters, in the church of God, and I'm not mocking, this is fairly common, because when our eyes and our gaze are fixed on this world, this is where we want recognition, right? This is where we want glory. Notice what I've done. But in the church of God, when all glory goes to him, he gets the glory. It all points towards him. And remember this one, we talked about this one last time, Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, do it enthusiastically. It's something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing that you'll receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ. When I know that I serve the Lord Christ, and it is for people, and God is all about people, then my attitude gets a little bit better. Because you know what? I can get grumpy with you. I'm so sorry. But I don't want to get grumpy with God. And God reminds me, it's for me. It's for me. It's for my glory. And you're serving my beloved people. And when we do that, I think that's what Nehemiah did. although these verses are New Testament verses, this is the New Testament application of the way in which Nehemiah built the wall and led the people. No glory came to him among the people. He just said, "O Lord, remember me. O Lord, remember me." And when you serve others and when you work in the church, sometimes you will not be noticed. Sometimes your work will be overlooked. Sometimes you did your best, and instead people will criticize you because it could have been better, right? All of us, all of us, all of us. But the Lord keeps the record, and when it's for His glory, He'll remember. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. You're remembering, you're wondering why I entitled it Remember the Lord. This is one of the reasons why. Remember the Lord. So brothers and sisters, as we go forward this year, doing the work that God has called us to do, put this in your heart. Put it in your back pocket, if you will, and remember this and be motivated by this. It's all about people, and God cares about what we do, and it's for His glory. Amen. Now, I don't want to dwell on it, but remember, a lot of Nehemiah is about opposition, isn't it? Because as soon as you determine you're available, God, as soon as you raise your hand and say, "Yes, God, I will be a wall builder," as soon as you wait upon the Lord, just as soon and just as surely, opposition will arise. And Nehemiah is very, the book of Nehemiah devotes several chapters to it. But what I want us to see and what I want us to be reminded of is this: as we go forward, determined to do the work of the Lord, you deal with it, but you don't dwell on it, right? Deal with it, but don't dwell on it. The enemy would be happy to keep you dwelling on trouble all the time. Take God's tools. Take God's weapons in your hand. And Nehemiah shows us how. Deal with it, and then keep on going. Keep on going. And that's what we see. And I want to remind you of that. So Nehemiah 2:10, we've looked at this before. There's always opposition. But until, if you are happy to settle down and say, "Okay, Lord, I'll go to church, I'll tithe, but let's just kind of keep it the way it is." If you are happy with that, if you are settled with that, you probably won't have a lot of opposition that rises up against you. But when you determine to take ground and move forward and fulfill the plans, this is what will happen. Sanballat, Tobiah, when they heard of my arrival, they were very displeased that someone had come to help the people of Israel. He hasn't even done anything yet. Now, Sanballat and Tobiah had been there a long time, but they had never been stirred up. Why? Because the wall hadn't been rebuilt. What were some of the enemies? The enemies that Nehemiah and the wall builders face are the same types of opposition, the same types of enemy work that you will face. So be ready for it, but don't be overcome by it. Be prepared, but don't be disheartened. Get yourself ready. What were some of them? Mockery, belittling, fear, intimidation, discouragement, distraction, personal attacks. All of these things we see in Nehemiah. None of them stopped him from rebuilding the wall. When we get to Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15, "So the wall was rebuilt 52 days after we started." Think of all these attacks. But Nehemiah kept on going. And brothers and sisters, for us to fulfill the plans and the purposes that God has put in our hearts, individually or for the church, we're going to have to do the same thing. We've got to. We've got to. Let me remind you of this. They were displeased that someone had come to help. Look at the next one. The people said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for the work. Oh, I like that one. I like that one so much. We see that over and over again. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab heard of it, they mocked us and despised us. And I was thinking, Lord, we've already talked about this a lot, and the Holy Spirit said, "I want you to go back to it one more time." And this is what I want you to remind Lighthouse of this morning. What's the first thing they do? Do they take up swords and spears to fight? No. What is the first thing that the enemy does? They mock and belittle. What is the purpose of mockery and belittle? It makes you feel small. It makes you feel worthless. It makes you feel inadequate. It makes you feel, I can't do this. What was I thinking? I can't rebuild this wall. I can't. They'll never become a Christian. They've mocked. They laugh at people who are Christians. I'll never be able to do this. And if the enemy can sideswipe us, and if the enemy can disable us through mockery, he will do this. And do you know where it often begins? Let me give you, just remind you again, very specifically. How many of you have ever started to pray about something, and you felt, my prayers are worthless? Have you ever felt that? You start to pray, and you know what you think? God, you didn't even hear me. Or you start to pray, and you feel zero power as you pray. In fact, you feel negative power as you pray. You feel worse after you prayed than when you started praying. And you think, that did no good. That made no changes. Brothers and sisters, let there be a red flashing light in your brains and in your spirits right now. That is exactly what the enemy did for Nehemiah. He tried to make them feel like, what are you doing? Belittling them and making them small. And this is one of the classic ways, especially it's one of the first ways. Therefore, we're not going to dwell on it, but let's deal with it. When you hear that, when you feel that, you may know this always. It didn't come from God, and it's not the truth, and it's not reality. And it didn't even come from your own spirit, because the enemy can sometimes whisper in our ears, and we feel like it's coming from ourselves. But it's not. It's a lie, and it's the enemy. We learn from Nehemiah. We learn from Nehemiah. And so we see, they despise us. What is this you're doing? He was angry, and what does he do? He's really angry, but what does he do? He mocks again. The primary tool of the enemy is to make you feel like you can't. What do you think you're doing? You can't do anything. You think you're going to change your family? You think your child is going to get out of it? Give it up. Forget it. Forget it. And it's a tool of the enemy, a trick of the enemy, and a lie of the enemy. So you're going to have to do what Nehemiah did. And you look and you read Nehemiah, and you know what we see in Nehemiah? For every attack, for every opposition, Nehemiah, in the opposite spirit, did exactly the opposite thing to come against what the enemy was trying to do. When the enemy, look with me here, for example, when they say, come on, come down, he'll try to distract, right? We talked about this one. They say, come down from the wall and talk with us. And what does Nehemiah say? Learn a lesson from Nehemiah. I sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down from the wall because the work will stop. Brothers and sisters, what God has called you to do, because it's God's work, it's a great work. The enemy will tell you, what do you think you're doing? It's nothing. You hear from God. Listen to God instead of the enemy. And Nehemiah says, because he waited with God and he was praying, he said, I'm doing a great work. Brothers and sisters, stay on the wall. Don't get off the wall. Don't be distracted. Don't get duped into thinking what you're doing doesn't count, that it's not important, that it won't make a difference. Stay on the wall. It's a great work that God has called you to do. If you come off the wall, who's going to do that work? If you stop praying, who's going to be praying for that person? If you give up, who's going to take your place? God is looking for people to carry out his plan. Don't let the enemy distract you. Don't let the enemy belittle you. And if you hear that voice saying, what was I thinking? Remind yourself, I'm involved in a great work. And keep on working. Don't come down from the wall. And as I said, four times they sent a message, four times. Nehemiah says, I'm involved in a great work. And then look at this, Nehemiah 6:9. They come again, another attack, for they all wanted to frighten us, thinking their hands will drop from the work and it will not be done. And remember what I said? What does Nehemiah do for every opposition? He comes right back in the opposite spirit, right? But now, O God, strengthen my hands. Brothers and sisters, when opposition comes, when the enemy comes, you and I are going to have to do what Nehemiah did, and we're going to have to come right back. I'm involved in in a great work. And for every time the opposition comes, that many times and one time more, you're going to have to keep on going. And you're going to have to do what Nehemiah did. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. And look with me as we're getting near the end. I've been preaching really fast this morning. God bless the translator. Nehemiah 4. This is the low point. We looked at this, but did you realize at this point they almost stopped the wall? Did you know that? There are three verses in a row, 10, 11, 12, and three different enemy discouragements come. In the first one, what does it say? It says, then the people of Judah began to complain. The workers are getting tired, and there's so much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves. First point. Second point. Meanwhile, our enemies were saying, before they know what's happening, we will swoop down on them and kill them and end their work. And then, verse 12, the Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again, 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 they will come from every direction and attack us. What gets them through this low point? The rubble is all of there. The enemies are there. Even their friends are saying, we're going to get attacked. We're going to get attacked. What gets them through? And I want you to see this, brothers and sisters, because you and I also this year, as we rebuild the wall, as we do the work of God, there will come a time when you will want to give up. There will come a time when you will say, it's too much. There will come a time when you will say, what was I thinking to even take time to pray about this? How will you get through? How will you rebuild the wall? How will you keep on going so that the plans of God will be fully carried out through you and through your prayers? You are going to have to do what Nehemiah said. And Nehemiah said, look with me. Here's the verse. Here's the phrase. You ready? Do not be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord. Isn't that great? Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious. Who's great and glorious. That's why I titled, this is the number one reason I titled this message, Remember the Lord, who's great and glorious. When you get to that point, you're going to have to remember the Lord. I want you to see something. If you follow all the way through, was the wall rebuilt? Yes, the wall was rebuilt. But if you will read these verses, you know what comes right after this? What comes right after this? There is no change in the rubble. I want you to see that this morning. There's still as much rubble as there ever was when they grew tired and their hands began to hang down. We'll never be able to rebuild the wall. The enemy was still surrounding them saying, we're going to attack. Their friends were still saying, they're going to come get us. They're going to come get us. Nothing changed externally. But what changed? They remembered the Lord. They remembered the Lord. And brothers and sisters, you and I are going to have to remember the Lord, who is great and glorious. And we'll keep on going. And we'll be able to rebuild the wall. Remember the Lord and fight. And how are you going to fight? We talked about this before, but just a reminder. There's going to be work in one hand. There are going to be weapons in the other hand. And verse 18 says, all the builders had a sword belted to their side. If we are going to build, we are going to do battle. There's no way around it. We're going to have to gain ground. It's ground that the enemy's holding, and he's held it for a long time. He's held it for a long time. Get ready to do battle if you're going to build. But remember the Lord, who is great and glorious. The battle is worth it. What we gain is worth it. Why? Fight for your wives, your children, your homes. These are eternal things, right? That's the Old Testament picture. But for us, it's eternal things. Remember what you're fighting for. And remember the Lord, who is great and glorious. I was praying about this, and I wanted to talk about this a week or two ago, and the Holy Spirit said, wait, wait. And I really wanted to talk about this. It's been in my notes for several weeks. Last week, I was climbing the mountain. And as I was climbing the mountain behind my house, you know, I've told you before, that's I pray as I climb the mountain. But there's one particular spot in the mountain that is really hard. It's really hard. And I'm not quite as young as I used to be, and I'm not quite as fit as I used to be. And this one particular stretch is extremely steep, and it's really long. And all of the times, hundreds of times I've climbed this mountain, when I get to that point in the pathway, there's kind of a natural marking, and I have figured out about how many steps it takes. And so you know what I always do to get through it? I pause for a minute, I catch my breath, and then I put my head down. I really do. I put my head down, and I start climbing. I start climbing, and I count. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then I get to about step 50, and I pause for a minute, breath, and then I keep on going, and I keep on going. And finally, I get about 110 steps, and then I've reached that part. So I've been praying about this already. And last week, as I was praying and as I was climbing, I got to that point, and I was praying, and I was climbing. And suddenly, I looked around, and I realized I had climbed to that steep part. I hadn't counted. I hadn't huffed and puffed. Now, God did not give me wings, and I didn't fly. God doesn't usually do that. Do you know what God did? And I absolutely believe it was the Holy Spirit for me and for you. Are you ready? You already know the application. Do you know what? I wasn't looking at the problem. I wasn't looking at the steepness. I wasn't counting how many steps it was going to take me to get past that, 110 steps. I wasn't thinking about it. And when I got to the top, I realized, oh, I've climbed it. I was a little out of breath, but not bad. And the Holy Spirit said to my mind and to my thoughts, see, see? And I said, yes, God, I see. Where we look, where we focus, determines what we will do and how we will get through. And because I wasn't looking at the steep steps, and because I wasn't counting how long it was going to take me to get top, and because I wasn't thinking, oh, this is so hard, huff, puff, huff, puff, huff, puff, I made it through. And it was like, oh, okay. And the Holy Spirit reminded me, the Holy Spirit did that one other time, this week as I was climbing. Now, there were other times I had to count steps again, and I had to huff, puff. But the Holy Spirit was speaking to me a very practical lesson for us in this. So, brothers and sisters, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Deal with opposition, but don't dwell on it. Remember the Lord. And the wall was finished, and we close with this. There is one true thing in all of those enemies. There's one true thing. You ready for it? They finished the wall. The enemies are disheartened. It says what it really means is they lost face. That's what it means. The enemies lost face. Look at the last part of this verse. They realized this work had been done with the help of our God. When the people of Judah and the builders grew discouraged and they said, "We will never be able to finish this wall by ourselves." He said a true thing. Brothers and sisters, as we close, you're right. Remember the Lord. You will never be able to do this work that God has called you to do by yourself. You're right. You're right. But it will be finished and it will be accomplished with the help of our God. We are in partnership with Him. And He will not fail. He will not fail. Remember. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me pray for you. You pray as well as we come to a close for this series on Nehemiah. Lord, we thank you for our brother Nehemiah that we're going to meet in heaven one day. And we can't wait. But Lord, until that time, help us to be as faithful as Nehemiah was. Lord, help us to learn the things that Nehemiah learned. Lord, help us not to grow discouraged with opposition. Lord, help us not to dwell on opposition. But Lord, help us to deal with it and keep on going. God, strengthen our hands for the work. Lord, as we build, may we be ready to do battle. We will remember you, O Lord. Forgive us when we think, oh, I can't do this and I can't do this. Lord, help us to remember you. We're in partnership with you, and we will do what you've called us to do. as we remember you and we set our eyes upon you and not on all the things that are too big for us to work out and to accomplish. We really thank you, Lord, for your word to us. We know you're speaking to us individually. We know you're speaking to us as a church, as Lighthouse. And Father, we pick up our weapons and we pick up our work tools and we do what you've called us to do. We thank you, O God, that with your help and partnership with you, we will rebuild the wall. We will hang the gates that have been burned for your glory as we humbly serve one another and bring you honor. In the name of the mighty name of Jesus, the Lord, who is great and glorious, we pray. Amen.